dependence in France upon the Lord to help us. He may speak through his own word to us. For without him, we, whether speaking or hearing, can do nothing. And that's your prayerful attention by way of a text to Isaiah 45 and verse 17. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. Dear friends, there are some amazing truths declared in the Old Testament of the Scriptures. Promises of God that are yet to be fully completed. It's one concerning Israel. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Israel are the sons of Jacob. We read at the beginning of this chapter, Jacob, my servant, and Israel, mine elect. We read, dear friends, that in the flesh, not all Israel are of Israel. The Lord Jesus spoke a solemn parable concerning the wheat and the tares. There were those that were sown of God to bring forth fruit to his honour and glory. And there were those whom the devil had sown. Physically, outwardly, we would say, and in their conduct, perhaps no different. But they were not of the election of God's grace. For that what Satan sowed amongst Israel. We read, don't we, of those wicked kings. We read of the prophets who spoke lies. We read of ungodly priests. And because of these things, the wrath of God was so often upon Israel. He permitted their enemies to rise up against them. And dear friends, that still is today, isn't it? That wrath of God is still against Israel. Even though those things, some of those things, which have been prophesied of Israel, that have come to pass. When the Jews, now when I say the Jews, I mean all the tribes of Israel. Because we read in Ezekiel, towards the end of that captivity, And where Ezekiel, the captivity that was in Babylon, this was to be afterwards. That Ezekiel was told to take two sticks and to put them together in his hand, and he would make them as one. I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. Dear friends, when Israel or Judah, as we call them, the Jews now, overall, when they lived after the captivity of Babylon and they'd been dispelled amongst the nations by Assyria, even they were subject to many nations. We read of Cyrus, here of the Persians, who permitted them to return to Jerusalem. But they had no king. They were ruled by, eventually, the Greeks, and then the Romans. And then their prophesied king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, came. And they rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And dear friends, because of that rejection, oh, what terrible things have come by the hand of God upon the sons of Jacob, those we call today the Jews. Terrible atrocities throughout the 2,000 years, as we might say. And it is still there today. But in the meantime, the Lord has brought them and bringing them back to their own land. They have that land which they did not have for from AD 70 to 1948. There to dwell now in that land, but oh, surrounded by still their enemies. And they have to fight. And oh, what dreadful things, dear friends, take account there. By the one hand and not the other, it makes us dread to hear of the atrocities that are done by the Jews and against the Jews. And today we're living in very serious days with that warfare in the Middle East. We know not what the outcome will be, but God knows. God spoke to them at the end of the Old Testament, didn't he? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. They're not consumed. And still there after all of these years. And the Apostle Paul, taking up this in his epistle to the Romans, speaks, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. It speaks of the Lord grafting them in again, And friends, we know not how that will come to pass, but we do know there will be no peace until Israel, the Judah, the sons of Jacob, the Jews, shall come to believe in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And dear friends, at this time of so much concern, we must watch and pray. For the Lord, yes, to work out his purposes, that he will have mercy upon the sons of Jacob, that he will bring them into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. As we have in this text, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And dear friends, this is not just physical Israel. This is the elect of Israel, the election of grace. And dear friends, the scriptures speak of the spiritual Israel. And the spiritual Israel are not just Jews, they are Jews and Gentiles. Not circumcised of the flesh, but circumcised of heart, whose hearts have been made soft to the truth as it is in Jesus. Well, Isaiah prophesies, doesn't he? Earlier in chapter 11. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles sing, and his rest shall be glorious. Dear friends, this spiritual Israel, for they're made up of Jews, Gentiles, such as you and such as I, who are called to seek unto the way of salvation, the way we just sung, that way which is in and through Christ Jesus. And so, dear friends, this text here applies to you and applies to me. I hope it does. We're sinners. But Israel, the spiritual Israel, they that are Jews are not those that are Jews in the flesh, but they that are circumcised of heart. Oh, how we need to pray the Lord will give us that softened heart towards the truth, as it is in Jesus, as guilty sinners, pleading for his mercy. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Dear friends, this is something which will last forever. The physical world will see someday. There's a day appointed when God will destroy the heavens and the earth as we know them. But this saving, this salvation of the Lord will be forever. Spiritual Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and they shall be saved. What shall they be saved from? They'll be saved from the wrath of God. Oh, dear friends, we read very solemnly of the wrath of God that shall come to pass when he shall destroy the heavens and this earth. And then there'll be an everlasting eternity. Either in that dreadful place where there is torment forevermore, never-ending sorrow and weeping for those who die in their sins. Those who die trusting in themselves that they are righteous. Those who die without any knowledge of the saving grace of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, it makes us tremble, doesn't it? As we would consider, and I hope we do consider, the end of our days. For every day is one day nearer, every week is one week nearer, every month, every year, oh, how we're hastening on, not knowing when that time will come. For the grave will not praise God. No, our flesh will lie there and it will decay, and as a tree falleth, so shall it lie spiritually as we die. We shall be judged. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord. Then, friends, there's only one way, isn't there? And that one way is the way of righteousness. That way is a complete cleansing from guilt under the law of God. And we've got plenty of guilt, haven't we? From the day we are born and the day as soon as our faculties develop, you children, you're guilty of many sins, aren't you? And as we get older, we only multiply them. Sins without number. And there's only one way to heaven, and that is for all our sins to be blotted out, to be cleansed from every one of them. And God gave his only begotten Son to make that way, to make that way for us, that we could have hope of eternal life. Not eternal damnation, which we deserve. And so the scriptures, they testify of this way of life through Jesus Christ. Oh, the song of the prophet Isaiah in verse 8 says, "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." Yes, he's created the heavens and the earth. And he's here, dear friends, upon the heaven and through the heavens and upon this earth is the way of salvation known, to be saved from God's wrath to come. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. And friends, there's only one real righteousness, that is of God himself. God who gave his only begotten Son. No, he did not come as the angels who come down from, as we read in the scriptures on many occasions, when they came down from heaven as the messengers of God to one and another. No, this righteousness, it came to be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. The Holy Spirit was poured down, yes, upon Mary. And that which was conceived in Mary the Virgin was of the Holy Ghost. And the one that was born of Mary was holy, pure, sinless, righteous, the only Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And dear friends, although he came to be tempted in all points such as we are, oh, we wonder what those 40 days of temptations contained when Jesus, after he was baptized, was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. But he remained sinless. Satan had to flee. From the few examples we are given, every temptation Satan set before him, he answered in accordance with the Word of God. For Christ himself is the Word of God. The Word made flesh. Satan had no power over him. The righteous Son of God. As is recorded of him in Isaiah, my righteous servant, says God, the Father. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. What Christ has done, he's done forever. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. Let the earth open. Oh, the Son of God who came down from the heights of the glory of his heart. Dear friends, entered into the earth through his death, his sufferings, his crucifixion. They took him down from the cross when he had cried out, "It is finished." The work that the Father gave him to do, to bear the sins of many, to be made sin for them, that they should be made the righteousness of God, that perfect righteousness in Jesus. Oh, dear friends, it was that lying in the tomb, paying the price for sin, his death. But, dear friends, the earth couldn't hold him, could it? Death could not feed upon him. All the scripture tells us in the Psalm of David, isn't it? That he will not see his Holy One see corruption. No. He was sinless. Death could not feed upon him. He rose again. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. Or that great stone rolled against the tomb, and it was rolled away. An angel descended. Those keepers became as dead men. And there was an earthquake. In one portion of the scriptures we read, and the stone, that great stone, rolled away. And it was said to those women who came, "He is not here, he is risen. He is risen. Behold the place where he lay." To bring forth salvation. The power of sin now destroyed. The way whereby sinners such as you and I can be saved from the consequence of our sins. Believing views of Jesus. Believing things of Jesus. Oh, it wasn't until those disciples had those views of Jesus that they believed, did they? Oh, what sorrow they had in the loss of their Lord and their Master. But he said, "I will see you again, and your sorrow shall be turned into joy." You know, dear friends, where there's a word of God, it will ever be applied. My word, says Jesus, shall never pass away. Heaven and earth will, yes, but my words never shall. Well, dear friends, what encouragements these are, aren't they, when we live our lives upon this earth? And at times, yes, we do lose sight of Jesus. Even though we've had a sweet glimpse of him in his power, of his death and his resurrection. "I will see you again." Oh, his eye is ever upon us, dear friends. He rose again triumphant from the grave. His disciples beheld him. We read of 500 beholding him all at once. And so they believed. Poor Thomas had to see him before he believed, didn't he? And dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it? A sight of Jesus. A view of him by faith. Look unto me and be ye saved, the scripture said. Oh, it's in this same chapter, which we've read 45 if you had read to the end. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I am the way, the truth and the life. Oh, dear friends, it's the one thing needful. What does it mean to us? The only way of hope of eternal life. All other ways lead to death. Eternally. You know, we read in that Psalm 85, which seemed to be a psalm written after the Jewish captivity in Judah. It testifies how the Lord has been favourable unto thy man. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of the people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all that. The psalmist could look back and see how the Lord had been so merciful to them. Revealed his goodness. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Oh, but what is it now? Israel, Judah have sinned again. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Depends when this psalm was written. It was a psalm of confession. They deserved the Lord's wrath. They deserved the Lord's anger. But it was a prayer. A prayer for him to return and have mercy upon them. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. This man shall be the peace. We have that in other prophets, don't we? Is it in Micah? This man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into the land. Oh, dear friends, but they denied that peace. They denied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, how sorrow to all those who deny the coming of Christ, who deny the coming of the Son of Man, the Saviour of sinners. But here this one, oh, he knew his guilt. He knew the wrath of God because of their sins. And he prayed earnestly. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. You know, dear friends, it's one of the great blessings of the Lord to bring us to fear him. To fear being separate from him. To fear never being embraced by his love. In the power of the Spirit, to look unto Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. Oh, that righteousness which has come down from the heavens through his Son. And that truth which has risen from the earth, the truth as it is in Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Though to believe in him For those that believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus said to his disciples, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, what a voice when he appears. That voice of love and mercy through Calvary, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, dear friends, do pray earnestly that we come to that spot where we believe and are maintained in believing. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day, that everlasting salvation, saved to live with Christ forevermore. It's verse 11 of Psalm 85, truth shall spring out of the earth. Oh, how that agrees there, doesn't it, with Isaiah 45. Truth shall spring out of the earth, the risen Saviour, who has given himself a sacrifice for all the sins of his people. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Now we have his glorious ascension. Death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Return to the Father, having fulfilled the work the Father had given him to do, to present all those for whom he died now faultless before the Father's face, and those for whom he died. Oh, dear friends, we can look up to the glorious heavens where Christ now dwells till he comes again, and declare, Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Our righteousness, far greater than anything we can achieve ourselves, with our good works and our deeds, which we should do to live in peace, one with each other. But to live in peace with God is through Christ Jesus, that saving grace, all to be leaned on by faith, to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we by his poverty might be made rich. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That word kissed, there, friends, means are united together as one. Righteousness and peace. My peace I give unto you, says Jesus, as he was to be crucified, to rise again and to ascend back to the Father. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Dear friends, our peace is our justification, having been made righteous through the shed blood of Christ, believed on by faith. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord. And that's a certainty, it's a surety. He shall be saved in the Lord. Christ has fulfilled all that glorious work. Satan is a destroyed and mighty foe. Ye an everlasting salvation, ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. Friends, we find this word ashamed and confounded in various places of the scripture, but particularly where it speaks of the coming of Christ as the sure stone, the foundation of his church, the foundation of the hope of his people. All those that should believe on him shall not be ashamed. You know, what does that word ashamed mean? You know, ashamed is when we actually believe something. And then what we've been believed in our hearts, we find it, doesn't it? It isn't the truth. And we become ashamed of believing that which was a lie. That's not the case with those who have been taught by the Spirit the truth as it is in Jesus. I lay in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a great cornerstone, a foundation stone. And they that believe shall not be ashamed. Well, that's, I think it's in Peter, isn't it? He repeats that word. And he says, those that believe on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, this cornerstone. This is where your hope lies, isn't it? Faith in Jesus. Looking unto him. Believing in him. Led by the Spirit. That we be saved from God's wrath to come. In that last day. Well, Peter is very bold, he says. It's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Dear friends, what a solemn word that is. Whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, if the truth of the sacred word of God and in Christ has no effect upon you, you were never appointed to be saved. Does that make you fear? Does that make you fear God? Oh, it makes it that we none of us have the power to save our own souls, do we? No. But the Lord knoweth them that are his, and they shall come. Oh, this truth of Jesus and the salvation through his shed blood. Dear friends, it will be revealed within us by the Holy Ghost. It will cause us to come, to cry unto him for mercy. Mercy and truth have met together. Mercy through Jesus as we cry unto him. And he becomes our salvation. Oh, the Lord doesn't give us that exercise of fear. He doesn't give that exercise of the fear of death and of a solemn judgment and of hellfire. Unless we are to be saved in Christ. To plead with him for mercy. Confess our sins. Oh, dear friends, this is the only way. Then may this way be our way. Oh, David at one time was in a deep place, wasn't he? We may be in a deep place through trembling of what we are as sinners. But the Lord heard his prayer. He was in a miry clay which he could not deliver himself from. But the Lord hath heard my prayer. He's answered me. He's established. He set my feet upon a rock. And establish my going. The rock Christ Jesus. The way, the truth, the life. Oh dear friends. Do keep crying and praying. Do not be satisfied with anything. Until you know this truth of Jesus. This love of Christ. The love of God. Shed abroad in your heart. By the Holy Ghost. For then all the promises are yours. Everything is yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Oh, may this blessing, dear friends, rest upon us each. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. No. To pass through death of the body. Our spirit to return to God who gave it. And in due time, oh, there be that resurrection of the just and the unjust. And that which is of our corrupt body will become an incorruptible body to be reunited with our soul in the kingdom of heaven, in that new Jerusalem, and to live with Christ forevermore. Dear friends, these are the sacred promises. Then look to Jesus, kind and strong. Mercy, joy with power. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded. World without end.